Okay, Sunday morning, 3:12:23. We're going to do a teaching this morning. We're going to pick up with infiltration. This is going to be part three of that. Thank you, Lord. Infiltration. I agree with Mark Taylor. If you had feel like all hell's broke loose on you, you're probably not doing anything for the kingdom of God. Yeah. All right. To successfully infiltrate the kingdom of darkness, we will have to engage in warfare prayer. To engage in warfare prayer, we will have to be secure in who we are in Christ. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, the stance of the overcomer. We're going to read it again for the sake of those listening to this, since we read it in the earlier word. Yeah, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and she said, Mom, it's just some of the stuff you just say is so hilarious. She said, you were talking about 3 Corinthians the other day. Yeah, I said, you know, sometimes I'm not responsible for what I say. I said, probably I was typing real fast and the 3 got in there, you know. But anyway, Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting anybody in the flesh. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, Jesus talking to John concerning the 7 churches of Asia, of whom he would be the apostle over, he wanted every church to overcome. We're just going to look at that right quick, just the very last scriptures of that talks about to those that overcome. This is Revelation 2, verse 7. It says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I like that. I really like that one. 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Ever think, I just can't stand my name. I don't know why they named me that. Well, God's got a new name. All right, 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right. And then chapter 3, verse 5 here. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You think you're in the background now and you'll never get any recognition, no one will ever know? Well, just think again. Guess who's going to make everybody know? Verse 12. him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So we're going to have a pillar with our new name on it, with his name. So this is Carla's pillar over here, whatever her new name is. I'll take it. 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even also I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. When we win a victory, we get to sit with him in his throne. How cool is that? Must be some big throne, I'm telling you. Overcome means to conquer. This is what the call to spiritual warfare is all about. It's to conquer, right? Conquer. All right, we're going to look at another scripture. This is John 16:33. The purpose of our warfare is to conquer. This is verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right, Jesus already won. So we don't have to win again. We just have to enforce the victory that's already been won. That's what this is about. Colossians 2:15 indicates, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So Satan was defeated. It is ours for the taking, but as Christians, we must know that. Most Christians don't know that. They don't know that they've overcome. They don't know Jesus already took care of the devil. In fact, in most Christians' lives, the devil is more exalted than God is. Because they're always on the bottom end of it. All right. Go to Luke 11. Start with verse 4. The Lord's Prayer here, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He says here, and which of you, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? I don't know if this is the right scripture or not. A friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing set before me or before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are within me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I don't think this is the scripture I'm looking for, but I don't know why I put it there. Okay, I must have got the chapter wrong. Not only is God's authority been given to us already, we have to exercise that authority. He's already done it. He's already whipped the devil. But we have to be the ones to enforce what he has already done. We're not doing what he did. He already did it. All right? The church is to be overcoming, which also means conquering. Overcoming and conquering. Romans 8:37 says we're more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But I like what Paul says here. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. A conqueror just simply means to vanquish beyond and gain a decisive victory. All right, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to look at what the warrior king did. You know who the warrior king was? 1 Samuel. I call him the warrior king. He slew Goliath. 1 Samuel 23 will be the first. That bugs me about that scripture. Y'all turn to Samuel. Go ahead. I'm going to look up this other one. I think it's chapter 10. Just a minute. Oh, well. All right, 23:2. Therefore David, well, let me read 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. All right. 1 Samuel 30. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. See, they had stolen all their wives and all their goods. But David didn't just haul off and just start doing his own thing and trying to take it in his own hands. No, he inquired of the Lord. We need to get out of that habit of just doing stuff. If I stress anything to you this morning, this is what I want to stress. Quit just doing stuff. It screwed your whole life up, you doing stuff. I've screwed my whole life up just doing stuff. Unsanctioned stuff. All right, 1 Samuel 30:8. I just read that. 2 Samuel 2:1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? The Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Specific instructions. If you get specific details about something, that's perfect. That's the way it should be. Not, well, a lot of ministries have come into this area and failed and left. And I'm thinking, you know, Mike Murdoch said one time, I'll never forget it, Mid-Cities. He said, I don't know if he said it there, but I heard him say this. Hear God's command, but wait for his plan. He has a plan for whatever command. Most people, they hear from God and they just haul off, ho hog, half ready. And they just bomb. Well, I guess God wasn't in it. No, you just didn't wait for the plan. You didn't wait to hear what God had to say about it because he didn't do it when you thought he ought to. You just went in, well, I guess I just, the pressure come on me, so I have to make a decision. So I just did what I thought was best. Well, I'm telling you, most of the time, when you do what you think is best, it's usually the worst, right? We got to just quit doing stuff. 2 Samuel 5. Even if it's a little thing, because it's these little foxes that spoil the vine. 2 Samuel 5:19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." In verse 23, and when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up." See, it happened again. A different time. "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come up behind them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go up before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. He didn't say, "Well, you know, the Lord told me to do this last time, so we'll just do what he said then." Mm-mm. He might not want you to do it the same way again. That's why we got to move with him, you know. He may have said something 40 years ago, and you're still doing what he said 40 years ago, and he may have had a change of mind after 40 years and want to change your direction a little bit. See, those are those that I feel like are the ones that stop along the way and never progress. God is moving. God is doing things, and he wants us to hear freshly from him about things and not just assume. All right, 2 Samuel 21:1. And there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." So he had to make, God gave him the plan of restitution to get the plague off of their nation because of what a wicked king before him did. You know, when we go to start spiritual mapping and doing things for our nation, we're going to have to maybe know what some wicked somebody did before us. We're going to have specific details on what to do. "I bind you, I curse you in the name of Jesus, blah, blah, blah." That's not going to do. We need specifics. If we want to take them out, we need the word of the hour. The word that has power, you know what I'm saying? All right, we need to make a concentrated effort not to just do stuff. Little foxes spoil the vine. Most of what we suffer from this is not following the Lord. It's not from following the Lord. What you're suffering usually is not because you're following the Lord. It's because you've just been doing stuff. The Lord said to me, just doing stuff is what's making you miserable. Not me. Not following me. Not looking at his benefits. Receiving of his benefits. All right. Joshua. Chapter 5:13. It came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. So what happened? The captain of the host gave him the plan to take the land. All right. Chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. They're terrified. They're terrified. They saw what the Lord did in Egypt. and other things that he did. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, God says, I've given them into your hands. Now, listen to my specific instructions. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout, or then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up in the morning, the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. The 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all her that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Same thing with Gideon. He followed God's instructions. Instead of 30,000, he had 300. With a trumpet in one hand and a lamp in another. Did exactly what God told them to do. And they killed each other. Turned on each other and killed each other. Jehoshaphat, the Lord told him, send out the praisers. When he did, same thing happened. They were 3 days gathering the spoil. See, God has his way to do battle. He's the commander in chief, you know what I mean? He is. And he has the plan. And we follow his instructions, it works. Instead of leaning to our own understanding. That darnel. See, that false grain. The little leaven that leavens a whole lump. Tries to get in there to steal the word, like in the parable of the sower. Tries to get in there and get our minds thinking naturally, getting us afraid or whatever, to just act instead of waiting on the Lord. Okay, we need to make a concentrated effort not to just do stuff. The little foxes spoil the vine. Most of what we suffer from, I already read that to you, is us moving out independently from Him. Even Jesus did not move independently of the Father. He was the Son of God. Well, so are we. But He was the Son of God. He did not move independently. Well, bless God, I'm the Son of God. I can do what I want. No, that's not how it works. We're going to look at those scriptures. This is John 10. Verse 27. Jesus makes this statement. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We've got to learn to follow the shepherd, not circumstances, not good advice. All right, John 12:49. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall I ask in my name, that will I do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How come? Because he follows this Lord. He follows the Father's voice. He obeys what the Father says do. It's real easy to claim these scriptures, but if we don't line up with following Him, it's kind of moot. All right, to be more than a conqueror, we will have to follow orders and not just do stuff. To be more than a conqueror, we must become military-minded. We don't move till we get the plan from the commander-in-chief. Do you hear that? We don't move till we get the plan. We don't need just a bunch of Christians saying a bunch of junk like they always do. Like we've done for most of our life. We don't need that and wonder why it never worked. Well, the Word said, do, but they don't understand. What did the Father tell you to say that word? No. I just do it because Brother Caps did it. He says, well, he called people parrots. A lot of the word of faith is parroting. If I just say it enough, it'll happen. Doesn't work that way. Even the devil believes that. That's why they do what they do. They think if they push their narrative, they keep bringing the COVID, they just won't let it die. Because they think. You know why? Because Satan saw God create. He saw Him speak the word. And so he don't get it either. They just keep pushing it. And pushing it and pushing it. Well, that's not the way faith works. All right, let's keep going. Mark 12. You know what? We wear ourselves out just doing stuff. Always a working it. And just nearly passing out at the end of every day because we just worked it so hard and still didn't get any results. Am I just preaching to the choir here today? All right. All right, this is Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." I mean, He is it. He is the commander-in-chief. There is no one else. He's who we listen to. He's who we follow. He's who we get our instructions from. All right, the commander-in-chief gives us instructions on what to do. If we will wait long enough, most people, unless you're disciplined in your flesh, most people will not wait. If they don't see it in a day or two, then they're going to do something else. How many doing it your other self has ever gotten you into a mess? We've all gotten in those places, done something and regretted that we did it. But God don't ever talk to me. Well, quit saying that. Quit saying he doesn't talk to you. Say, my Father always hears what I say. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you don't have to hound him about it because he doesn't have any memory loss. He's old. He's the Ancient of Days, but he hasn't lost his hearing. And he doesn't forget what you called on him about. He doesn't forget. In fact, it amazes me. I forget. He'll remind me. You remember when this? Or you remember when that? Yeah, Lord, I do. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. All right, to be more than a conqueror, you got to be military-minded, and you've got to follow the commander-in-chief. What good would our military be if they were not listening to the generals? If they just went off rogue and did stuff, well, we'd have a lot of dead people. We'd have a lot of mess going on. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sacrifices to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? Guess what? That's part of salvation. Dead works are gone. Dead works are gone. That's part of what the blood did. No more dead works. Think about that. All right. I had one other scripture. Purge from dead works so we can serve the living God. God does not need us to put our hand to it. Dead works are no longer acceptable. All right, let's keep going that same chapter. Start with 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ has once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So all that dead work, Jesus nullified it all by a sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to do this. So why are we still doing it? If our consciences are purged from dead works to serve the living God. What is serving the living God? It's asking him, what do you want? What do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? I wait on you. I won't move out independently of you, Lord. If all you can think about is, well, when the cloud moves, I'll move. The cloud stops, I stop. The Lord says, stay, I stay. Until you know that you know that you know that you know God has spoken, don't step out. You know when God's spoken and you know when he hasn't. You know it. You know it. Everyone knows it. Just let God speak to you one time. It's so distinct, there's never a doubt. All right. It's no longer the external, but the internal or eternal. Satan loves to steal God's glory. Stay following him and obeying him, and Satan won't steal God's glory. Where is him? We are. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? We want his plans to succeed. Then we're going to have to get out of the way and listen to him, because he has a plan. He has a very precise plan that's, to each one of us, it's unique. And he wants to execute that plan in our lives, but if we don't get out of the way and quit trying to do this and that and other, then how can he? There's a thing about God. If you step out, he'll just let you go. It may be years before you come back around. Children of Israel, dun, 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 day after day after day after day for 40 years. A lot of people, they just run out of time, unfortunately. But it'll have to be that way. We can say today, Lord, I'm sorry for stepping out when I shouldn't have stepped out, or not going when I should have gone, or whatever the case may be. Help me to wait on you and get your word and obey you fully. Say, I hear his voice. I know his voice. Don't say, well, I don't know. I don't know how to hear the Lord. No, don't say that. Say, I do. One of the biggest problems, in my opinion, why Christians stay so defeated, they hear from God and jump out and start doing stuff. And, you know, I told you about what Mike Murdoch did. Hear his command, but wait for his plan. Lord said, go build a church. All right, tomorrow we'll sell in our house. We jump out there and we get out there and nothing works out. And we drag on for a year or two and we lose everything. And then we drag out of town. Well, I guess God wasn't in it. Well, you're right. God wasn't in it. He's still back there where you left off, where you left. Yeah. All right. If we would wait and hear from the Lord, we would always be a conqueror. Always. God doesn't make any losers. All right. All right, just like the serpent tempted Eve, he also tempted Jesus. He tried to keep Jesus from being our conqueror, but Jesus would not move out independently. The Father sent him on a mission, and he obeyed orders. All right, John 8:28. Now you know why I have talked, I don't know how long I've been talking to y'all about following the leader. Because I don't personally believe we'll get anything done for the kingdom of God if we cannot submit to authority and obey the leader. Just like I was telling you, an apostolic team, we better be one band, one sound, or the devil will kick our butts. And he'll try to take you out if he could, if you do not all one band, one sound. Is that the way it was at Jericho? If one person had rattled their mouth off when they said be quiet, they would have ruined the whole thing for everybody. Do you see how important it is? All right, John chapter 8. It's not to be dictatorial. It's to be in divine order and being in God's divine plan. There's always going to be somebody over you. Just remember that. You will take orders from everyone. Our problem in the body of Christ is we've gotten so cocky that we think whoever's up there, we'll just crucify them. We'll put them on a stake and run them out of town if they don't say what we want. They're like Korah. You know what happened to Korah? The earth swallowed up he and his family and everything they had. Their rebellion. And we wonder why we don't get anything done. All right, John 8:28. Wait a minute. I need to get to 8. Just a minute. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Always. Satan is the robber baron, right? He's the robber baron. All right. This is the bunch that I believe Jesus was talking about. They might have heard from God, but they didn't wait long enough to get the plan from God. Right here, this is Matthew chapter 25. I really do. I believe this is will be the group that Jesus is talking to. You say to me, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. All right, this is 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, we saw thee, and when saw we hunger or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he shall answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, a lot of these, there's one portion of Scripture that talks about, you know, we prophesied in your names, we did all these mighty things, and Jesus said, I don't even know who you are. Why? Because they just did programs. They just did stuff. It might have been good. They might have fed the poor. They might have done all of these things, but did God tell them to do it? No. They just did stuff. There's a lot of religious programs that had all kinds of programs. If God sanctioned it, great. If he didn't, yeah. Just a bunch of junk is what it is if God didn't sanction it. They may do all the right things, but they didn't line up with God's plan. All right. As more than conquerors, we have a whole heap of things that need to be conquered, like crime, gangs, poverty, abortion, racism, greed, child abuse, alcohol and drug abuse, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And we have no clue what to do. There's programs all over the place that are trying to do stuff, and it is amounting to nothing. Takes a lot of money and helps very few. What's going to really work? Somebody getting God's plan for it. The real deal. That's what's going to work. If we don't have God in it, then we just might as well abandon it. It's not going to work. All right, the list goes on and on, but just setting up programs. God's not going to be impressed with that. All right. We need a plan from the top man, Jesus Christ, to know how to take out these strongholds of the enemy. Only when it is dealt with in the spirit can we see any change in the natural. The spiritual is really the problem. Take out the demon, take out the problem by the finger of God and by the plan of God. finger of God and the plan of God. Or maybe get the plan of God and then cast out by the finger of God. That's what Jesus did. He loosed a lot of people from demonic influence. But he didn't do it on his own merit or his own plan. He waited on the Father. He was led by the Spirit, just like we are led by the Spirit. All right, we're going to look at a few, couple more scriptures and we'll be done. This is Daniel chapter 10. All right, in the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day, at the first month, as was by the side of the river, great river, which is Hiddekel, then lift up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. You know what upsets me more than anything is when someone asks me to pray, and I do, and God gives me an answer, and I give it to them, and they treat it like pigs with pearls. To me, that hurts me more than anything. To hear from God and get a word from God and give it to someone, and they treat it like it's nothing. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my commonness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. You know, it's labor to pray for someone. It's taken time away from your life for their life. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Are we naive enough to think that today when we pray, sometimes there might be a space of time because there might be some angelic warfare going on our behalf, even though God heard us from the moment that we prayed? Sometimes we've got to wait until the messenger gets through. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Learning to wait on the Lord. Sometimes it's not God withholding anything. Sometimes there is interference. And we just got to stand our ground. That's what the stand of faith is about in Ephesians 6. When you've done all to stand firmly in your place, unmoved, not backing down. Well, I guess I better do this then. Don't do it. Warning you, don't do it. Hold your ground. All right, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was another prophet. He's called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 1:10. He saw Israel go into Babylonian captivity. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Not to escape. Root out, build, and plant. Well, I don't want to do nothing. Now the Lord's coming and we're just filling our suitcases, just waiting to get out of this cesspool. How'd it get to be a cesspool? Because you've been sitting and waiting to get out of here? That's how come it came a cesspool. It happened on our watch. Are we responsible? You bet we are. I'm thinking, Lord, forgive us. That's why we have to repent for our nation. Even though we don't feel like we did anything, but we did. We were complacent. Asleep. So we are responsible. All right. One more passage of scripture and we'll be done. This is 29 of Jeremiah. Now, I want y'all to remember this. When you're faced with stuff and you're having to wait on the Lord, just remember, just don't do stuff. Don't do stuff. Just don't do stuff. Just wait. Don't do anything till you get an answer. I'm telling you, one time, I've already told the story, I'll tell it again. I had a crown put on my tooth. No, it's wrong. I had a filling put in a tooth, and it was not a regular metal filling. It was one of those that matched the tooth. Well, I didn't know this at the time, but for 2 years, I had to wear a night guard at night. My jaw stayed sore all the time, and I've been back and forth to the dentist. And I was seeking the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he told me I could pull it, I could do this, I could do all those things. I just couldn't get clear on anything. Then one day I went to the dentist, he said, I know what's wrong. He said, that filling is soft, and every time you do this, it's doing this down on your root. And he put a regular filling in there, problem solved. But it took 2 years. I could have had him pull it, a perfectly good tooth. I mean, that may seem simple, but is it? It's not simple. I mean, it just takes not moving out independently and doing stuff. I didn't have the clearance to do anything. Was I in pain? Yes, I was. But I didn't know what else to do. So I didn't do anything. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world for us to do is nothing. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Now think about it. The Israelites are in Babylon 70 years. You think probably a lot of complaining and griping, the mess is going on for 70 years. People trying to get out of there and get back to where they're supposed to be. God said, no, you're staying there for 70 years because of what you did. This is your retribution for your disobedience. And he told them right up front. The prophets told them. But you had people trying to get out of there. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, he put them there for them to learn the lesson. Don't do this again. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. After the 70 years. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. I don't need to read that part. I'll just stop at 14. Anyway, because they did their own thing and did not follow the Lord, they were in captivity. And God said, you're going to be in this cycle until you learn your lesson. And then you're going to call upon me and I'm going to hear you and I'm going to answer you. Did they get it? I don't know. Have they got it? I don't know. Because most of them are still scattered throughout the earth. But now that's the church. I wonder if they know that if they don't become born again, they're not going to make it. I doubt that they know it. All right, what is it that we've learned today that we're not supposed to do? Not just do stuff. All right.